We're just going to start. I have very few thoughts.
Okay.
I have very few thoughts for this one, but the few thoughts that I do have mm-hmm. are, I think, hefty.
Okay.
And it was actually through a conversation that I had yesterday, is one of them. But we've talked about how each of us interacts mm-hmm. with this God thing,
yes, right? Yes, right.
And how he shows up for us mm-hmm. and with us and through us and because of us. Some, mm-hmm. I don't know. Mm-hmm. Which is like, which feels abundant and it feels elastic mm-hmm. and it feels like there's virtually no place you could go in a search for who you are mm-hmm. that you're not going to find God waiting there for you.
Like, right. Yeah.
Took you long, whatever.
Yeah. Right. Right, yeah.
If
right.
that's where you're supposed
if that's,
to be.
That's right.
So what this kind of fear creeped up in me, not for me, not for you, but for people.
Yeah.
That I feel like some people have dug themselves either a Bible-shaped faith mm-hmm. or a... I haven't thought about it long enough to come up with good analogies.
Okay.
The one that comes to brain is a Bible-shaped faith, mm-hmm. right? And they've dug it deep enough and they've dug it strong enough that they can't see mm-hmm. or they refuse to see the things that are outside of that Bible-shaped faith.
Okay.
Does that track?
Yeah, it tracks. Yes, for some people, I think that the Bible definitely is where the boundaries are made, where the rules are kept, mm-hmm. where and where we can find all of our answers. And it in my experience, we can't find all of our answers in the Bible.
Right.
I mean, yes. I mean, is it a place where I go I wouldn't find answers is not the right word for me, but for solace and for reminders of rejoicing and reminders of God's love and mercy, yes. But I don't necessarily go there to follow the rules or to, answer all my questions.
So I think there's two parts of it for me.
Mm-hmm.
So just before this, I went up and played the awesome piano here.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's called, I think, chords.com. Like, you can mm-hmm. just look up literally any song ever,
right.
And it feeds you the chords for it. And so I looked up I'm Still Standing by Elton John,
mm-hmm.
and it gives you the chords. What it doesn't give you is Elton John's virtuosic capability.
Right.
His playfulness.
Right.
And any sort of groove.
Right.
It just gives you
chords.
These four mm-hmm. is this chord. This four...
Right.
Is this chords. So it kind of feels like that.
Mm-hmm.
It kind of feels like the Bible, if the part that the Bible is playing for the individual
mm-hmm.
is anything, it should almost be just a fuse
mm-hmm.
for you to attach
mm-hmm.
your flair, your interpretation would be a mm-hmm. word, but like just everything that you are
mm-hmm.
should not be forced into the book. The book should expand everything that you are.
I would agree with that. Yeah, I would agree with that. The Bible is one of the ways, and for Presbyterians, it's probably the most universal way that we come to know who God is.
Mm-hmm.
Now, that's not the only way we come to know who God is.
Right.
And so, but it still informs us, right? If we, and if we only read part of the Bible, we only get a part of who God is, right? It's easy enough to find stories about when God seems very vengeful and angry. Well, that may be so. I think God can feel all those things,
mm-hmm.
but I don't think that's all who God is, right? I don't think God is an angry, vengeful God.
Right.
I mean, actually at the core, I don't believe that's who God is at all.
Yeah.
But,
and if you look in at the right moment on any one of us, mm-hmm. we look like royal pieces of junk.
Yeah.
Just, yeah, mm-hmm. I hear you. Okay. Keep going.
Well, no, it's just, but to me, the Bible, I think of the stories, especially, well, in the Old Testament, I love some of the Old Testament stories. But I've often heard people say, well, the Old Testament God and the New Testament God. And I'm thinking, nope, that's the same God. That is the same God.
Yeah. How do we handle that? Because it is a very different.
Yeah. The literature is very different.
The what is?
The literature. Okay. You know, if you look at the Bible as a library and not as one book, mm-hmm. And what do you learn?
That's super smart. I know it's pretty surface level that mm-hmm. it's a bunch of different authors, mm-hmm. but for you to say that just yeah. made it very, very apparent.
Well, it is. And even within particular books of the Bible, there are different authors. Mm-hmm. So that also makes it confusing and sometimes contradictory, and sometimes repetitive because different authors are saying the same thing, right? There's two versions of the Ten Commandments, one in Exodus, one in Deuteronomy. They're similar, but they're not exactly the same. Mm-hmm. But when we're reading things, even in Leviticus, which most people don't read, right? That's all the Levitical codes and the rules that, and the laws that were meant to keep people safe, right? Mm-hmm. That's why they didn't eat pork, for instance, because
literally survival for the age.
Right. Right. So, and there's some stuff, you know, that we don't ascribe to anymore at all. You know, we wear two different kinds of material in our clothing and, we put money in banks and, things like that. But among the Levitical codes is that you should welcome the stranger and you should love your neighbor as yourself.
Yeah,
right. So there's within this list of all these things that can make your eyes, you know, glaze over, you have these nuggets of beautiful, mm-hmm. Beautiful things that guide us, right? Guide us through our daily lives. I mean, on the Liberty Bell in Philadelphia is the part of Leviticus that talks about Jubilee, which is every 50 years, all debts would be forgiven, slaves would return home. And it was like a total reset. And
that's interesting.
Yeah. And that's think about that.
That's enormous. Yeah.
That's huge. What would that do for people today?
Mm-hmm.
You know, it means you're not always going to be stuck necessarily. Now it may take 50 years, but it's still, your family is not always going to live in this.
Right.
Yeah. But
I think there's an interesting parallel there too. At least my own experience as being a dad, mm-hmm. because a lot of it, especially when they're little, mm-hmm. is really boring stuff. Like yeah. don't put a fork in the toaster.
That's right.
Like, you know, just the, my job,
keeping them alive,
that's because right. you're too dumb to do it yourself.
Right.
And then eventually they get, you know, and then within that is these mm-hmm. accidental moments, not mm-hmm. accidental at all.
Right.
Where they just get to connect with you.
Yes.
Where we're looking for turtles and we're whatever.
Yeah.
And that's the really beautiful nugget part mm-hmm. where the whole time you're just thinking, don't fall in the water.
Right.
I'm a good swimmer, but I hope you don't disappear in the darkness.
Right.
You know, that whole thing. So it's, I can see that if you just like Leviticus specifically, because you mentioned it, mm-hmm. because it is so just boring mm-hmm. bullet points.
Yeah. It feels like it.
Yep. And then every now and then you're like, wait, they're fishing. You know, yeah, they're having that moment.
That's right.
They care.
That's right.
So then what is, and I agree with everything you're saying. I knew I would. I just wanted, mm-hmm. you're very articulate. And I wanted you to say it well. So then what's our role when we come up to a big rectangular hole in the ground mm-hmm. and somebody's just bouncing around in there?
Yeah.
Happy as a clam.
Yeah.
What do we do?
For them, you mean?
I don't know.
For us?
I don't know.
I think I rely on Micah 6:8 a lot. And it talks about, you know, what does the Lord require of you? Before that, they're talking, you know, should I give everything I have and right. all this oil? And, mm-hmm. you know, the prophet is telling us, you know what the Lord wants. right? Do justice, love kindness, and walk humbly with God. And walking is a word. It doesn't mean simply to walk, right? It means to be aligned with God.
To engage with.
Right?
And, yeah.
Exactly. So, I mean, I think that's an ethic we can live our lives out of. So what is the kind thing to do in a situation where you see somebody jumping at a triangle? If they're, mm-hmm. maybe to engage them, it may be to jump with them. It may be just to let them be. You know, but I think as we engage our faith, however we would describe it, because I feel like, I think people are yearning to be connected to something, whether they would call it the divine or just the spirit or something. I think mm-hmm. there's a longing for that. And when we make those connections, in our faith, when we are aligned, like for me, when I'm aligned with what I would say my central ethic is, which is that my role is to love my neighbor and love God, not necessarily in that order, but mm-hmm. that's, and so that means I'm wishing the best for my neighbor. That means I'm trying to have a relationship with God, even though sometimes I fall down on that end of the deal. Mm-hmm. I'm trying to be a person who contributes to society. I mean, it's not just simple as saying love. Love is hard.
Yeah.
That is not an easy thing.
Yeah, right. And love shows up in a million different ways.
It does. Well, when you're, Jesus even says, it's easy to love people who love you, right?
Yeah, sure it is.
Right. But those who don't really love you or don't want the best for you, how do you love them?
Yeah.
And that's a hard one.
Mm-hmm.
So.
And are taking an active role mm-hmm. against you.
Yeah.
Which is even worse. Like somebody that doesn't love you, fine.
Yeah. Go on your merry way.
Take the lane, buddy. Yeah. I don't care.
Yeah. Right.
That, you know, but people that are actively working against you. And
right.
hopefully that's not a reality for a ton of people that there is somebody actively working against them.
Right.
But it is.
But right. And so, yeah. But, and I don't think though, by loving them, it calls us to just tolerate it.
Yeah.
Sometimes the loving thing to do is to call it out
mm-hmm.
or to challenge it.
Set your boundaries.
Right. Set your boundaries. So yeah, I mean, I think, yes, loving does not necessarily mean letting anything go.
Mm-hmm. This is interesting and shows how much I'm scrolling on Facebook, but I just saw a thing yesterday. There was this, it's just a CCTV camera mm-hmm. of this outside dining area.
Yeah.
And this waiter brings the stuff, puts it in front of this guy, and the guy kind of does one of these, what is this? Mm-hmm. Baloney moves, and you can tell what's happening without any sound.
Right.
And then he takes something off the plate and throws it at her.
Okay.
And, you know, at that point, much of the outside dining area is just staring at him.
Right.
And then you can see it caught the attention of the owner that's up a set of stairs, and mm-hmm. he comes down, and he's it's a perfect mime because you can tell what's happening without any of the sound. But he comes over acting like he's very concerned with why the customer mm-hmm. felt the need to whatever. And the customer is like, well, this thing, this whatever mm-hmm. she just handed me, blah, 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 blah.
Right.
And then he picks up another piece and throws it at her with the owner standing there.
Uh-huh.
And he talks to the girl. The girl picks up all of his plates, takes them away. Uh-huh. And then he says, get up, pick that stuff up.
Oh.
And so he gets up and picks that stuff up.
Uh-huh.
The outside dining area erupts into applause. Because good on you.
Yeah, right.
This guy's an a-hole and you dealt with him. And then that should be the end, right?
Right.
In any other situation, that's the end.
Right.
But in this situation, the owner and the guy have a conversation, like they're just standing mm-hmm. there and it's calm. And then the owner gestures to the seat. And I know the conversation was, we would love to have you here, but we're not putting up with that.
Yeah.
So if you want to sit and try this again,
uh-huh.
we can sit and try this again.
Right.
But you're going to use your big boy words.
Right.
You know,
right.
that type
exactly.
of situation.
Yeah.
And the guy shrinks, mm-hmm. like just emotionally turns into nothing.
Mm-hmm.
But he sits back down.
There you go.
Like, what? Just kick him out. That's the easiest and justified.
Oh, yeah.
And it's a way you can go.
Sure.
But this guy saw past it. He goes, this isn't about the food.
Right.
This isn't about the waitress. This is about something's happening
with
this guy.
That's right.
And this was an outlet. This was an easy outlet.
Right.
And I thought that was gorgeous.
It is.
It should have ended. Get out.
Yeah.
We'll never see you again.
Right. You're not welcome here anymore.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think part of it is, you know, what do we do with the, when we come up to a rectangular hole in the ground? Mm-hmm. I think part of it is whatever our light is, we should be shining it as bright as possible.
Sure.
So that person's like, you know, watching.
Right.
Just above their eye line.
Yeah.
And thinking, what's happening out there?
Right.
I've been in here for 40 some odd years.
Yeah.
You know, whatever. It was just I had a conversation yesterday, and it was a good conversation. It was an open conversation, but it did just show me just a glimpse of there are people that, and again, I'm not trying to take down the Bible. It doesn't do it for me.
Right.
It does do it for some people, but for those people that's all that they're willing to accept.
Yeah.
I feel like they're missing so much.
Yeah. Well, and then, I mean, fear-based religion is not a good religion. So, right. So if you're doing things out of fear, I don't want God to get mad at me. I don't want to mess up, whatever.
Yeah.
But the Bible can be used as a terrible weapon.
Yeah.
And it has been used that way.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
So,
I want to read more Enoch, but we don't get to.
That's right. Right. Exactly. So, so I think, you know, the Bible is a hard thing, because some people are taught that it's God's word, infallible, right? God sat down and wrote it, and it's nothing.
Right.
Yeah. Nothing, no mistakes, nothing.
Yeah.
And Presbyterians don't believe that. We believe that it is authoritative. It is a witness to God in a way that we do not have.
Right.
But
an inspiration by God, but still through a human filter. But
that's right. Well, yeah. I mean, yeah. So
if I misspoke there, please correct me.
No, but you didn't. No, you're exactly right. Okay. I mean, what I was thinking of is just, again, the different authors and the way biblical scholars have even decided things, like books attributed to Paul didn't write. But that's okay. I mean, we know that.
Right.
So is that a problem? I don't know if that's a problem as much as it's something to know.
And yeah, it's not the main takeaway.
No, it's not the main takeaway. Right. So there's that. So I think you're exactly right. I mean, Matthew tells us, right? Let your light shine before others, so they may see your good works and glorify God who's in heaven. And what we, yeah, I think what the hope would be is that we go through the world and people say, I want some of that.
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah. I mean, that's a person, or that's a person I want to be around.
Yeah.
You know, and to me, that's evangelism, right? We don't like to talk about evangelism, but to me, that is how we share good news, right? By shining our light.
Mm-hmm.
By saying, this is my life, and I'm going to live it. That doesn't mean I'm not going to mess up. That doesn't mean I'm not going to be cranky, and that some days I'm not going to feel like shining any kind of light.
Mm-hmm.
But for the most part, that's what we're striving for.
Yeah. And I think people that are paying attention get a pretty good, even if they saw a negative interaction and tangent, there may be more truth to who you are in a negative interaction than there is to the good interaction.
Right. Right.
You can see pretty quickly those people that are fighting with their nails out and those people that are so frustrated that they had to engage.
Right.
But they're still in control.
Right.
Even that, I think, would be that shining light.
Right.
Be like, this situation is ugly, but they knew what they were doing. I mean, this was a calculated, not attack, but you know.
Yeah,
I mean.
Right.
And I think the visual is probably wrong. Digging a rectangular shaped hole. I think just building up walls, because it makes me think if you're walking and there's a bunch of holes that now you're above, and that's not what I'm trying to say.
No, but sometimes it feels like you're in a hole. I mean, life sometimes feels like that.
Yes. Yeah.
And holes are hard to get out of, right? Because the more you dig, the deeper they get.
Well, and just the habit of it, the right. way the brain works, mm-hmm. it loves habit,
right?
And it will cling to habit, mm-hmm. and you will have to take serious mm-hmm. work mm-hmm. to kill the habit portion.
That's right.
Just the brainless, mm-hmm. like if you're not on, it's going to do what you've always done.
That's right.
And it takes a lot of work to change a habit.
Yep, it does.
Okay. So that part. And then, I had it. I'm going to edit this dead time out. Another separate conversation that I had this week was mm-hmm. about what we're doing here. Mm-hmm. And I mentioned aliens, ghosts, time travel, whatever we talked about. I don't remember.
That's what we talked about.
I didn't remember if time travel was part of it. But this person gave me a look, like trying to do the math.
Right.
On what kind of pastor did you find?
That's right.
And like legitimately, because.
Right.
Oh, that was the other side of it. Not just a Bible-shaped hole, but maybe a Catholicism-shaped hole.
Okay.
Or a Protestant-shaped hole.
Right, whatever. Like, whatever, yeah.
They just allow the mm-hmm. rules to be shown to them. And then mm-hmm. without question, they say, these are not my rules.
Right.
And I think our best bet, like you said, shine your light, is to just walk around with a bunch of ladders. Mm-hmm. And just be ready to throw a ladder down mm-hmm. if they mm-hmm. just have the slightest inkling.
Right.
Anyway, I was talking to not going to name names because I'll get in trouble if I do. I was given this face like, why are you wasting? It was one of two faces. One mm-hmm. was, what kind of psychopath pastor did you find that's willing to even have this conversation with you?
Right.
Or why are you wasting this very generous and obviously patient uh-huh. pastor uh-huh. while you just ask ridiculous questions? and I thought to myself, these, in that I have had them mm-hmm. and I know other people that have had these same questions, they mm-hmm. can't be ridiculous.
No,
we're humans mm-hmm. with our human stupid brain mm-hmm. and there are what seem like enormous pools of thought mm-hmm. that should clash with the power of an atom bomb,
right,
and just disintegrate each other,
right?
But that doesn't help us in understanding anything.
No,
there has to be an overlap. There has to be a Venn diagram,
right,
where we can live in this central part, be like, this is what we understand from the church, this is what we understand from science, and this meet in the middle mm-hmm. is where we have to live,
right?
So I just wanted to thank you for the opportunity to have stupid conversations like this.
I don't think it was stupid, but anyway, okay.
I don't think so either. But on the surface,
yeah,
it almost seems like a gimmick. If I just pitch this in 30 seconds, especially the last episode,
right?
If I just pitch this in 30 seconds,
right,
it seems like a gimmick.
Yeah,
like I'm going to get this pastor in here. We're going to talk about aliens. Well, right. Great. What's that going to? You know, we're not. Mm-hmm. We're mm-hmm. not actually talking about aliens.
No.
We're not actually talking. We're talking about the openness mm-hmm. of the everything.
Right.
That was created somehow.
Right.
And feels like there is an engagement and an interaction mm-hmm. from the somehow to mm-hmm. what we're experiencing.
Right.
And I just think it's, I'm not even sure there's a question here. I just think it's an insane, big, huge thing that you kind of have to blow down all the walls mm-hmm. and be like, all of it's fair game. Mm-hmm. Let's figure it out.
Right.
And just wrestle.
Right.
Any thoughts?
Thoughts are that's what, for me, that's what faith is about, or having faith, right? That, that you don't, let's use the wall yourself off from things that you don't understand or don't find, I want to say compelling, but that's not the right word. So having these conversations with you, two things. I mean, we've known each other a long time, so that helps. Mm-hmm. And I think that people have a lot of questions they do not want to ask in the church. they don't even want to admit they don't know stuff about their churchy stuff, right?
Oh, yeah.
A lot of people, I'm not saying everybody. Mm-hmm. And if you can't do that in church, where are you going to do it? Right? If you can't do that in a place, in a community where, I think part of it is we're so used to the church having the answers, and the church doesn't have all the answers. I mean, what we offer is a place where we bring our questions and we try to figure it out together. Mm-hmm. I mean, yeah, there are some things that I'm pretty clear about, right? You shall not kill. You shall not, you know, those kinds of mm-hmm. very...
aliens definitely don't abduct people.
Well... Yeah, that stuck with you, huh? but yeah, that was my hill to die on, apparently. Mm-hmm. But I think about my own life and how I have throughout my own life had experiences that have changed my mind or my heart about things and opened it. I think that that's what the church is for. It's not always what it is, but right. It's what the church is for.
Yeah, I agree with that. I agree with that's what the intent should be, mm-hmm. regardless.
Yeah.
Everything you just said made me think of, we play hide and seek with a little kid.
Yeah.
A, they want you to find them.
Yes.
The entire game is that they should not want you to find them.
Right.
So they are equally making it difficult to find them and joyful when you do.
Right.
And there's this little explosion mm-hmm. of giggle or laughter right. or running or whatever. And I feel like that those elastic areas mm-hmm. where we push in mm-hmm. and we ask some ridiculous questions, sometimes ridiculous questions, mm-hmm. but questions that if they're in your brain, you deserve an answer.
Right.
Well, you don't even deserve an answer to. You deserve to be able to play with the question.
That's right. That's right.
So answer or not. Just the fact that you push the wall a little bit. Mm-hmm. I feel like anytime you do that, there's this excitement, mm-hmm. this explosion of excitement from the thing mm-hmm. that's put this all together.
Right.
They're like, I'm so glad you got here.
Yeah.
This yeah. seems like it's off limits.
Right.
Or it seems like it's outside the norm or whatever. Mm-hmm. I am so glad. And then mm-hmm. giggles and
right.
run away exactly. to another corner.
Exactly.
To force you to, you can deal with that mm-hmm. for as long or as little as you want. Mm-hmm. But there's always another portion of it mm-hmm. that is, because I don't believe in a cookie cutter faith.
No.
So there are things that are going to really get, and I feel like you and I are on the same side of a lot of things, mm-hmm. right? So that's all fine.
Yeah.
So you and I would actually gel well mm-hmm. in like a Camp Wyoming situation.
Yeah, definitely.
Where if I were ever in a Camp Wyoming situation and just saw you not singing and just enjoying the music, mm-hmm. I could totally understand it mm-hmm. and be like, yep, that's what I'm doing too.
Yeah.
So I could see that there are some things there, but there are people that music doesn't do it.
Right.
That are really well done, organized Excel sheet mm-hmm. does it.
Yep.
And that doesn't do it for me.
Right.
But that's I think right. it's beautiful that you could find it. Mm-hmm. in virtually anything you're taking on.
Right.
If you have the brain to attribute mm-hmm. that feeling to whatever bigger's happening.
Right. 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 I mean, I think the thing that I value most about being in a community of faith is that we have people everywhere, mm-hmm. right? We have the people who like the spreadsheets, the people who would not want to come near them,
yep.
and everybody all over the map. And our job is to not only live together, but love one another. Uh-huh. And that means there is value in what you bring and value yep. in what everybody else brings, mm-hmm. Even if it does not make sense to me, right?
Yes.
And maybe especially if it does not make sense yes. to me. So that, when we shut people out, and the church has been really good about that over the years, but when we shut people out, I think we cut off part of the body of Christ, right? Mm-hmm. We cut off those people who were created by God, and their brains think a particular way, or their excitement is for particular things. Mm-hmm. And together we come to make this community that hopefully is doing some good in the world.
Yeah.
And living out, you know, what we would feel would be Jesus' call to again, feed the hungry, clothe the naked, welcome the stranger, and visit mm-hmm. the lonely. Mm-hmm. And that when that happens, that is a beautiful thing.
Yeah. Yeah. I've got a buddy, Chris. He has about 42 little bubbles of friends.
Mm-hmm.
And he, at any moment, could pick seven of those bubbles, mm-hmm. say, we're all doing something together. And mm-hmm. those people would get along.
Right.
Because Chris has cultivated mm-hmm. this thing around him.
Right.
That, yeah, some of them are video producers. Mm-hmm. Some of them are adventure runner guys. Some right. of them are just dads being good dads, yeah. whatever. But he can call his bubbles in. Where I specifically have like 9 bubbles, mm-hmm. and I keep most of them separated.
Right.
Like,
right.
Because I don't want to explain this bubble to that bubble. Right. I know how to get into that bubble mentally.
Right. Right.
But this bubble's never going to make it.
Right.
But at the same time, and maybe it's just because we have a ton of practice, if I call the Dendinger clan because we're moving a house, mm-hmm. that house is getting moved.
Yeah.
And it's getting moved quickly and efficiently.
Right. That's right.
It's like, I need you in the bedroom. I need you in the kitchen. Right. I need you into this. We have 3 trailers outside.
Right.
Let's get this done.
Yeah.
And then everybody just shuts up.
And then do it.
Get stuff done.
Yep. Exactly.
And sometimes to their detriment. Like I said, Mom called me when Grandpa passed at 2:00 in the morning. Mm-hmm. I said, you need anything for me? She said, nope. I just wanted to let you know. And I guarantee you, maybe in the moment she gave herself a little bit of time, but mm-hmm. I guarantee you she switched very quickly into what's next mode.
That's right. What do we got to get done?
Her moment later.
That's right.
But she put off her mm-hmm. moment for mm-hmm. the sake of, mm-hmm. which, I mean, that's her batting average. She
right.
pretty regularly puts off her moment right. for the sake of other people's moments.
Right.
I don't know. This, I do know. I feel like I know everything right now.
Good.
Which is, no, it's horrifying. Because I get into these moments, especially moments when you and I have volleyed a ball
mm-hmm.
for these 4 mm-hmm. hours
mm-hmm.
about whatever we want to volley the ball about.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And it just keeps hitting.
Yeah.
Like we put in a pool last year mm-hmm. and it was just an excuse to get the boys outside.
Right.
I was like, we're going to spend thousands of dollars and it's just going to be to get the boys outside.
Right.
And it works. And actually, this year it works more than last year. Last year was kind of a beg and plead thing. This year it has been every single day.
There you go.
And it's been fantastic. And one of the, oh God, we play 2 games in the pool and that's it.
Mm-hmm.
One of them is ball.
Yeah.
And it's literally just don't let the ball hit the water.
Okay.
Which is that's stupid. That,
but it works.
It's what, oh, it always works.
Right.
And the other one is vroom, which is vroom, but you know when you're in a pool too long and everything you say sounds like you have a cold?
Yeah.
So it was vroom. And that's just where one unfortunate soul, usually me, mm-hmm. gets to be the train leader. And everybody just latches onto the shoulders oh, of the person in front. And you just get to pull everybody around the pool.
Okay.
Which is all fantastic. And unconnected to what we're talking about. But the ball thing.
Yeah.
I have really enjoyed this conversation, not because I knew that we would agree
mm-hmm.
and not because I knew where we wouldn't and that'd be juicy or something.
Right,
like who right, cares?
Right.
I don't care.
Right.
The reason I enjoyed this conversation, these sets of conversations has been because there is a playfulness to the openness of these conversations mm-hmm. where it's like, oh, you want to go down that alley? I don't know. Yeah. Let's go.
Yeah.
Let's find out.
Yeah.
And I appreciate especially that you are a leader of a leader within a sect of the church,
mm-hmm.
whatever. And the sect almost doesn't matter to me.
Right.
It may be why this has been so easy.
Right.
Because maybe this conversation with a leader of a different sect of a church goes differently.
True. True.
Potentially. I don't know. But I feel like there's so much to be had in the gray.
Yeah. Oh, it's all gray. Almost all gray.
Right?
It feels like that.
There's so much meat in the gray.
Mm-hmm. And, but for so many years, and it, we've liked, we wanted it to be on either end of that spectrum, right? Either the white or the black, for instance. And that's, for some people, that's where we're, they're most comfortable. Cause you know, again, you know, the rules, you know how things are going to go.
Yeah.
Until they don't. And yeah.
White, black, red, blue.
Right. Whatever. Yeah. It doesn't. Yes. I mean, it, yeah.
Any conversation I've really had with anybody that has their brain engaged mm-hmm. has always been purple or gray.
Yeah.
Like it's very, very infrequent that mm-hmm. I find somebody that's just full white or black, red. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And I don't necessarily care to bring, I'm not going to bring politics into it, but that's a very easy.
Right. Oh yeah.
Parallel.
Yeah, definitely.
To the whole thing.
Definitely.
But I think grandpa was a big part of it. I think my mom was another big part
of
it.
Yeah.
Grandpa. I did some weed eating for Judy yesterday. Uh-huh. And we were talking about grandpa. I don't know why.
Yeah.
But we were. And she even mentioned, she said, grandpa, and then long pause. She said, question everything.
Yeah.
And that was one of those wink moments mm-hmm. for me. Mm-hmm. Because the first tattoo I got was Curious George on my shoulder.
Okay.
Underneath it, it says question everything.
Uh-huh.
And she said it. She said, grandpa, and then disconnected. Yeah, silence. Question everything. I was like, yes. Mm-hmm. Yes, we should be doing that. Mm-hmm. There are certain things that will only get, you know, math, for instance.
Right.
Technically, you should only get one answer.
Right.
But the real life stuff mm-hmm. sits in the gray, plays in the gray.
Yeah.
Is hoping you get gray all over you.
Right, right, right. Well, and you can either be scared of it or you can be curious, right? Yeah. And well, I think there's probably other options, but being curious does lend it to be a lot less scary. And mm-hmm. again, you get to play with it and try things on and figure things out for yourself or with a group of people that you might be having a conversation with. But yeah, but no, your grandfather, it was, I was always sorry that I was not a colleague of his in that he was retired by the time uh-huh. I came on the scene. Mm-hmm. But authenticity oozed out of his pores.
He's such an interesting guy.
Yeah.
And I was like, it really kind of irks me that I was too young to recognize how interesting he was.
Yeah.
I mean, he was a fantastic grandpa.
Yeah.
But that's like almost the only avenue I saw him. Right. Was as grandpa, which maybe should be. I mean, mm-hmm. maybe that's fine. Mm-hmm. But there are just so many questions that I would have loved to mm-hmm. hear his weird articulation of, because he kind of had an interesting way to speak. Mm-hmm. And like, I specifically remember he would open doors for people mm-hmm. and they would come through. He would never, ever, ever respond to thanks with you're welcome. He would always have this weird
thing
that's probably 150 years old or something he made up that you kind of understand what he's saying, but he just didn't want to say you're welcome. He wanted to say this other thing. Mm-hmm. And it lended to me that he was on mm-hmm. that. And later on in life, when the on was starting to turn off mm-hmm. because he had Alzheimer's for like 6 or 7 years towards the end of his life, he hid it from even his wife mm-hmm. for like 4 of those years.
I believe it.
Because he was able to play games with himself.
Yes.
When Lucas was born, he always knew Lucas was 4. Lucas was 1. Lucas was the first grandkid.
Right.
But to him, Lucas was 4. Matthew, Mark, or 3. Oh, Matthew, Mark, Luke.
Right.
And he could get himself there.
If he did that.
And he'd play the game in his head, and it would come out to everybody else mm-hmm. that he just knows the kid's name. He has no idea what the kid's name is, but he knows what the game is to get to the kid's name.
Right. Right.
Just such an interesting dude.
That is. Yep.
Just fighting tooth and nail. He's mm-hmm. like, I've got, and nothing. Mm-hmm. I've got my brain.
Right.
And I'm going to use it for as long as I have. And I think he got more miles out of his brain, even in the last 7 years with Alzheimer's, than a lot of people do.
Yeah.
And I hope that I'm, you know, curiosity is where it's at. Mm-hmm. Curiosity is where the fun is. You get muddy. Yeah. It gets gross. You're going to skin your knee.
Yeah.
And you can either run home to mom or you can just throw some more mud on it and keep going, you know.
Right.
I think there was a quote, and it's not a good quote, and I'm going to edit it for the sake of our listeners. I don't know.
Right.
But the quote is, it's not that I'm good at everything. It's that I'm not afraid to mess something up in the process of fixing the thing I'm trying to fix.
Right.
And that's really, like, I don't know if Grandpa explicitly taught me that, or just kind of through example taught me that, or my mom, or just the myriad of father figures that showed up in my life, or mother figures that showed up in my life, you being one of them. Mm-hmm. But I think I accidentally fell into a wormhole of very open, very curious, very let's find out, very Miss Frizzle type people. You know what I'm, you know, Magic School Bus? Get messy, make mistakes, and something. I don't know what the rest of it is, but that kind of sums it up.
It does. I mean, I took a youth group to Heifer Ranch, two youth groups actually, one from here and one from another church a long time ago. And when you take the youth group, the point is the adults don't do the things for the youth, right? So if they're doing it wrong, let them try to figure it out.
What's Heifer Ranch?
Heifer Project is a...
Oh, no, I know what this is.
Okay, so it's the ranch where they originally had the animals that they sent overseas is in Arkansas.
So like you can, as an individual, you can sponsor
that
this animal exists.
Yep, that's
and
right.
And gets sent to where it's needed.
Right.
For food.
Right. For food or whatever. Yeah. And so they have a week-long immersion kind of thing where you learn about different animals and different cultures and what the animals do for the people. But in the process, they have this philosophy that you fail forward, that if you do something wrong, and I think that is such an important, and that stuck with me, even in my own, you know, that failing isn't a bad thing. It only is if you don't learn from it, right? If you don't move forward from it.
Have you started reading the book I sent you?
A little bit.
That's chapter two.
Okay. Excellent.
That thought is the entirety of chapter two.
Awesome. There. Yeah. So, yeah.
There's failure scares so many people.
It does.
And it stops so many people. It's like the number one thing to stop anybody.
Right.
Is just the idea, maybe I'm going to fail at this.
Right.
Well, maybe is a crap quantity.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
There's no metric there.
Right.
Maybe is possibly a coin flip, probably rolling a D20.
Mm-hmm.
You know.
Yeah.
So
yep.
Maybe can fly a kite.
Right.
Also, you should definitely fail at this.
Yes.
You should maybe try to fail at this.
Yeah.
Because in the fail is the lesson.
Right.
In the fail is the, you know, you're in the mud. You just failed. You're really upset.
Mm-hmm.
Your knee hurts.
Yeah.
Your bike's over there. I'm going to have to put the chain back on that.
Right.
And there are like 9 lessons that you have to learn.
Yeah.
What do I know about my body? And
Am
I capable of getting home?
Right.
B, if you're not, where's the nearest phone that I know about? And in my childhood, that was not a cell phone.
That's right.
That was, who's the closest friend that I know where they live?
Right.
3, can I put a chain back on a bike?
Mm-hmm.
Do I know how to do that? Mm-hmm. I've seen my brother do it. I'll try it.
Right.
I can't mess it up more. It's already messed
right,
up.
Right, right.
4, this knee's not bleeding bad enough that I need to do anything about it right now.
Right.
I should probably address it at some point. But there's so much.
Yeah, right.
There's so much information. Here's a fun fact. Your brain takes in over 2 million pieces of information a second.
I believe that.
Your subconscious brain.
Right.
Now, the subconscious's entire job is to sift and hand you the important stuff.
Aha. Uh-huh.
Where you get about 20,000 pieces of information into the conscious brain.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the subconscious is eliminating the sensation of you sitting on a couch right now because it's not useful.
Right.
Or the temperature in the room necessarily because it's not useful.
Right.
The idea that you're looking through glasses, which you have sensory information telling you, but yeah. it eliminates it because it's right. not useful.
Right.
It's not a change.
Right.
It's not a threat. It's not something that needs to be addressed.
Mm-hmm.
So, and that's three things out of the 2 million.
Right.
So 2 million minus 20,000. I don't even know what that math is. It's right. a lot.
Yeah.
So much information is just being sloughed off. If you've ever wrecked a bike,
uh-huh.
you know that things go into slow motion.
Oh, yeah. Oh,
and
yeah.
they do because all 2 million pieces are new, important, and something you should be aware of.
So they're all happening and
they're
coming in.
They're all happening. So every second between upright and concrete, you are getting 2 million pieces of information mm-hmm. into your skull.
Mm-hmm.
And you all of a sudden recognize that there's a roly-poly two squares up mm-hmm. that you would have not
right.
otherwise.
Right.
And you recognize this is where you accidentally guard yourself.
Right.
Because your body just takes over.
Right.
It says, okay, this is going to suck to some degree, but we can lessen the suck as much as possible.
That's right.
And so your head gets right. whatever you turn. So you're right. hitting the shoulder instead of hitting your chest, whatever.
Right.
But I was on Sycamore Street. Judy lived a block and a half that way. My uh-huh. friend Elena lived that way.
Uh-huh.
The reason that whole thing came up is because my chain literally just exploded off of my bike. No, right. locked up on my
oh,
bike.
Oh, yes.
I went over the handlebars.
Of course you did.
And I remember it slowing down. And I remembered it for 20 years until mm-hmm. I started digging into how the brain worked.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, oh, that's that thing.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And I think it's really important to recognize when there's a lot of information coming your way.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not the exact same thing, obviously.
Mm-hmm.
But when there's a lot of information coming your way, it's for a reason.
Mm-hmm.
And it's probably because of the last step you just took.
Mm-hmm.
And you should get your learning eyeballs on
mm-hmm.
because it's heading your way for a reason.
Aha.
Right?
I like that. I've never thought of it that way.
When nothing's happening, nothing's happening.
Right.
When a lot's happening,
it's happening.
Not necessarily.
Oh, really?
When a lot's happening, there's the opportunity for a lot to happen.
Ah, okay.
Mentally.
Right.
Growth-wise, spiritually, right. whatever.
But you could also be oblivious yes. to it, is what you're saying.
When there's a lot yeah. happening, you can just be in your walled-off thing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the idea that aliens may or may not be abducting people could be right outside that wall. But if it doesn't make a lot of noise,
right.
you can just go on you can just go on not having it. And that's probably a bad thought or example, because I'm just poking you to poke you.
I know. I understand.
There are things outside the wall that probably won't make noise.
Right.
Probably won't even let you know that there's something outside
mm-hmm.
that wall.
Mm-hmm.
That doesn't mean they're not worth finding out about, engaging, mm-hmm. bringing in,
right.
or are you expanding
out
in, yeah. or yeah, you expanding out.
Yeah.
When there's a lot happening, there's the opportunity for a lot to happen.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And I think this whole conversation's been stupid fun.
Mm-hmm. I agree. I've had a lot of fun.
But I think we can agree on a couple things. One, whether you're willing to admit it or not,
mm-hmm.
you can feel God where you can feel God.
Yeah.
In whatever that means for you.
Mm-hmm.
So that's fine. I'm fine with that. God mm-hmm. thing or book God, I think we're talking about the same thing.
I think we are.
Your life is going to be as big or as small as you make. You're like a turtle in an aquarium.
Mm-hmm.
If you make the aquarium enormous,
mm-hmm.
that turtle can grow.
Right.
Or a reptile or whatever.
Right.
I think snakes and reptiles do that too. Mm-hmm. Where if you keep everything right. small,
they'll stay small.
They stay small.
Yeah.
You're going to stay small if you keep things small.
Yeah.
And I just mean your ability to manufacture thought, your ability mm-hmm. to think in the gray, your ability mm-hmm. to recognize the gray when it happens.
Right. Right.
So that, I think God shows up and you know it.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just a matter of doing something with it.
Right.
If you keep things small, things stay small.
Mm-hmm.
Or if you keep things the same, I guess.
Yeah, that too.
Things stay the same.
Yeah.
And when there's a lot happening, that's where the funnest part of the... Funnest, is that a word?
It
the
is
most
now.
Fun, is it? The most fun part of the ride
yeah.
can be.
Yeah.
And the most tools come your way.
Yeah.
If you just have your arms open and your brain open,
right.
You can pull in all this information, all these extra tools, mm-hmm. all this new stuff mm-hmm. to make your next step even more capable than the last one.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Yeah. So, give me something.
Give you something?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I think you're right. I agree with what you're saying. And I think part of that is for people who want to feel like they don't want change or don't, I think part of it is they don't know what their purpose is or their, you know, why am I here or, you know, what am I supposed to be doing? And I think that's a whole nother big question. Uh-huh. But I think your openness to new things, your willingness to engage people who are different or think differently than you do, I think all depends on you being secure in, I would say, secure in who you are. That doesn't mean that you're staid, but that you're not afraid to engage.
You're not and motionless,
right?
But you're stable,
right? Right. And I think, yeah, that's really a good way to put it, because I think the minute we start deciding that we're not going to move or become stagnant, that's not good from a person of faith's point of view. That's not good. We don't learn everything we need to know about God at confirmation, and that's it. God continues to reveal God's self to us in so many different ways, but a lot of times we're not aware. Mm-hmm. We're not, we either choose not to be aware or we just aren't aware. I don't know.
Well, I think there is a practice too.
Mm-hmm, there definitely is.
To having your radar going.
Yeah.
And like, I'm going to say during COVID, I made it a very serious effort not to enjoy the experience through my phone.
Right.
To just be there. You're there.
Right.
What did we do when I was growing up? We took like 3 pictures at the end of every event.
That's it. Yeah.
It was a picture and then open the curtains. It was another picture. Right. And then we're going to close the curtains, use a flash. Third picture just to make sure we got it.
Got one. Yep. Exactly.
But it was just a matter, like it was, it, and it still is difficult for me sometimes, mm-hmm. but just to put the phone down and just be there.
Yeah. Be present.
Because the phone isn't going to capture.
No.
It's going to capture the cute, funny face or whatever, but it doesn't do it.
No, it doesn't. And studies have shown that like people who go on vacation and all they're doing is taking pictures, they don't hardly remember what happened on the vacation.
Yeah.
Because they're too busy taking pictures. So, yeah. I mean, I think be present in your own life. I mean, I think that's, and part of that is asking questions and part of that is trying new things and being willing to go with change. But
well, I think it also has to do with having your ears tuned to what's going on around you.
Yeah.
Like when all of the wildlife in the woods stops making noise, you need to be very aware of what's happening. Like when there's change or even not change.
Right.
Maybe just constantly feeding back to yourself, like that's a ping that I need to mm-hmm. put some more pages mm-hmm. on the book. That's a ping that I need to call this person and just be there with that, whatever.
Right. Exactly.
I think just being aware of all the pings mm-hmm. and then do with them what you want.
Yeah.
But be really good
at
feeling or hearing or being in tune with them.
Right.
Because I think there are new ones that'll show up.
Yep.
That'll surprise you.
Mm-hmm.
And they'd be like, I would have never thought.
Right.
That this is one of the things.
Mm-hmm. That's definitely true.
Yeah.
But I appreciate this opportunity just to talk with you. I think that for me, that's what more of this needs to happen, right? More, mm-hmm. more just listening and hearing somebody's point of view. I think that's a good thing.
Yeah.
So, I mean, the fact that we agreed on a lot, that's fine. But it'd been okay if we didn't too.
Well, what I think is very interesting is we agreed on a lot. We came in from different technical angles and good, bad, or otherwise, you know, I don't think either one of it, like, you know, like we just said, stable, not immovable or
stagnant,
stable, not stagnant. Mm-hmm. I think we're both so stable in what we have as our individual faiths mm-hmm. that it was perfectly fine for us to get into the gray.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe I stole some of your gray, and maybe you stole some of my gray. Mm-hmm. And now our individual grays are a little bit different.
Yep.
Just from having muddied each other
exactly.
for a second.
Exactly.
And I think that's gorgeous.
Yeah, I agree.
I think the epitome of greatness of God's creation, mm-hmm. or the God things creation, is in our skulls.
Yeah.
And if we're not really exercising them,
mm-hmm. yeah.
it's like we were given a Lambo and keep in the garage.
Right.
What?
Yep.
Take it running.
Yeah.
Like I just told, that piano wants to rock.
Right.
That piano exactly. wants to rock hard.
Yeah.
And I'm going to go back up there for about 5 minutes and record myself rocking hard on that
nice.
Piano.
Nice.
Because it's meant for it.
Right.
And the gray matter in our brain or in our skull
mm-hmm.
is meant to have premium gasoline put in it
mm-hmm.
and to open up the throttle.
Yeah.
And see where it goes.
Yeah.
And I think it's gorgeous. All right. I'm going to call that.
Okay.
Thanks, Pam.
Thank you. Seriously, thank you for...
This is just stupid fun.